Welcome to Fandomaniacs, a podcast for gamers, anime otaku, TV, and movie buffs. I'm Rob.
I'm Dan.
Welcome to the show. Brittany has left us today, but we have picked up a new host, Dan.
Hello.
Dan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a nerd, I draw, and I'm eating Smart-Tarts.
Alright, I want to start the show by talking about the new TV show, The Bionic Woman, which is on NBC Wednesday nights, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. We saw the pilot episode, and Dan, what'd you think?
It was a little better than I expected it would be, and not bad for a pilot episode. Like, it wasn't great, but most of the good shows I can think of had lousy pilots. So, you know, I think it has potential.
When I first saw the show, I mean, I know a lot of critics kind of ripped it apart before, and I kind of read just a little bit of reviews, but I tried to keep an open mind when I watched the show. And I kind of liked it. I mean, I grew up watching the original series. I was a big Bionic Man, Bionic Woman fan. But, I mean, they definitely, I mean, besides the name, Jamie Summers, and her having bionic parts, the show was completely different. I mean, they changed every other major character in the show.
Sure, sure. I mean, they didn't even mention OSI.
They didn't mention OSI. Yeah. There was no Oscar Goldman. Yes. No Rudy Wells. They did a little bit of a twist where the person actually gave her the bionic parts is her boyfriend, and he works for this, looks like some kind of secret organization, mm-hmm. kind of, I guess, like the OSI, but they haven't really revealed what their name is. The only thing you know is that they're trying to create, I guess, these superhuman people, probably for military purposes, and she is not the first Bionic Woman also. Like, in the original show, she was the first.
Well, they're using a shameless ploy that I hate to admit has worked on me in the past, which is hiring actors from another science fiction show, because not only is the actress who plays Counter... We really should research this better, because I don't know her name. But the actress who plays Counter Thrace on Battlestar Galactica is the original evil Bionic Woman, and then also the chief engineer from the show is also on, and we saw him for 2 seconds, and we're not exactly sure what his role is.
I'm not really sure her name either, but I know Jamie Summers is played by Michelle Ryan, and I think her big credit was the EastEnders, which is a show or
movie. Yeah, she's British.
Yeah, I really didn't want... Oh, she's British?
Yeah.
She's wow, that's very interesting.
Well, I don't know if she's British, you know.
Yeah.
It sounded like a British accent. It could have been wrong. It could have been Australian or something, but I'm pretty positive it was British.
She's British. That's some American accent she's got.
Yeah,
she had me completely fooled.
Well, they've done this before. They'll take an actress who has a sexy accent and, you know, make her talk American, which it might have actually been cooler if she had a British accent. But
yeah, I know we got Miguel Ferrer from Crossing Jordan.
Well, to me, he's Miguel Ferrer from RoboCop.
From RoboCop.
Playing, again, a total dick, which he's really good at. So
very good at doing. They also have Molly Price from Third Watch, mm-hmm. who I happen to know who she is because my wife used to watch the show, mm-hmm. and she's a great actress, and she's kind of playing...
I never watched that show.
And she's kind of playing... Miguel Ferrer is playing Jonah Bledsoe, mm-hmm. who is, I guess, like the Oscar Goldman, but a more of a twisted kind of Oscar Goldman type character.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically playing the same part he played in Point of No Return.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, the Lefem Nikita ripoff, where... Yeah. He's kind of in charge of this pseudo-secret military-ish organization who, you know, decides who lives or dies and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And Molly Price is also playing, I guess she's kind of his second-in-command, or that's
okay,
how
she was the one, the blonde with the short hair?
The one from Third Watch. She was the one that actually came in, was trying to do a psych profile
okay,
on her.
Yeah.
Well, they listed her in the credits as, mm-hmm. like, that was, like, his second-in-command when I read the summary for the show. And they also have Chris Bowers from Rescue Me. Who's actually playing Will Anthros, which is Jamie's boyfriend. And mm-hmm. you also know that his father was a scientist mm-hmm. that probably was one of the people that actually started this mm-hmm. this project.
It reminded me of Heroes a little bit, actually.
Yeah.
Of what was his name? Koresh? I don't remember. The Indian character. So basically I'm coming
his,
off as
yeah, his father being
white,
like...
White, racist American, not knowing all this stuff.
But, yeah, we know that his father is in mm-hmm. prison for something, so obviously he had some kind of falling out with the agency.
Yeah.
And now he's in prison, and actually might have something to do with that other male villain mm-hmm. character who they introduced. They really didn't show you whether he has bionics or not, mm-hmm. but they did show you sewing up his hand, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. at one part, so you kind of assume that he's probably bionic also.
Yeah.
Probably an older model.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming, because it seems like the newer bionics can almost like regenerate themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, the show definitely didn't have that warm feel from the original series. One thing I like is that they tried to be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I always hated the slow motion in bionics. I loved it as a kid, but later on it just really never made any sense to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought it was really cool that one scene where she was like running through the forest.
Yeah, then did the whole Lois Lane bit.
Yeah. I kind of hate when they do that.
Yeah.
But they did do the bit from the original Superman where, you know, they had the old Lois and the young Lois seeing Clark running through the field.
Yeah, they had a mother and daughter, and the little girl sees the bionic woman running through the forest and points it out, and the mother tells her to shut up or something like that, and, you know.
Yeah. Instead of her just getting the bionic ear like she did in the original series, she actually has the bionic eye also.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing I liked about the original series was the fact that, you know, the Lee Majors actually was the bionic man, and he actually had to fight with the organization to have her become bionic.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of, I guess, a little bit similar, but he actually now, you know, her boyfriend's actually the doctor that creates the bionics.
Yeah.
And he just went and did it without even asking the organization, so.
Well, but I've seen enough of these to realize that if I'm ever given superpowers by some sort of secret organization and I escape, so I'm going straight to the press. What are they going to do? I
mean, yeah.
That's what I thought. I'd be like, I would just go straight to a news van and say, hey, look, I'm going to crush this piece of steel with my bare hands, and then...
Yeah, the weirdest thing I thought was the fact that she just went right back to work as a bartender.
Yeah.
And that was kind of weird, too, her being a bartender.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the original Jamie Summers, I don't know if anybody, you know, remembers the series or has watched the series, Jamie Summers was a professional tennis player.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and she was dating the astronaut Steve Austin, and that's when, you know, she had her accident. What'd she do? I think she fell out of a helicopter or something.
No, it was, she was skydiving.
Oh, skydiving. That's what it was.
It was skydiving.
Okay, I couldn't really remember. I just always remember that scene in the beginning.
It was either that or hang gliding, I'm sure, was the other choice.
Yeah. I don't know. Did you catch Heroes?
Yes, I did.
We saw the season premiere of Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
By the time this airs, we'll probably be up to the second episode. But as far as the premiere episode, what'd you think?
Trying to collect my thoughts here. I liked it. I had just watched the last season finale like an hour before that. I'd missed it. So I got it on my computer and I kept putting off watching it. Of course, I had to watch it, you know, before the season premiere came on. And I actually liked the last finale better than I thought it would, because I'd heard a lot of bad things about it. And I thought the first episode of the new season was, I guess, it was decent. It wasn't anything super exciting about it. But, yeah, I liked it.
I didn't like the finale. The only reason why is I believe that it just really built up. I think really the problem was they should have made it 2 hours.
Yeah.
Which lost it, and they did a great job
with that. Yeah, it would have been better if they did.
Because it was 1 hour, I feel they really just rushed it to a conclusion.
Yeah.
The cool thing is that we saw in the promos that Asylum is still alive, because I think Asylum is a great villain. For the end of this season, maybe they'll have a really big battle, and maybe they'll do the right thing and make it a 2-hour finale.
Yeah. Although I did think I did have a really hard time with the whole Kensai being white.
Yeah.
Because being a British guy, because I'm pretty positive, you know, that was a real historical figure. I think it's kind of silly when science fiction, Quantum Leap did it a couple of times, when they try to incorporate their science fiction show into real history. That I had a little bit of a difficult time with.
Yeah, the whole time travel thing with Hero and everything, which I think is interesting, but yeah, I kind of was like a little disappointed they did that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little disappointed that they killed George Takei also,
character. Well, we don't know that.
Well, we don't know what his powers are.
Yeah, we know he's got superpowers. Yeah. We know he fell off a building. And it is getting more and more like actual comic book stories, and we know that, you know, you could never count to death in comic books.
No, definitely not.
I mean, when Superman died, everybody was shocked who didn't read comic books, and, you know, everybody who did read comic books looked at their watches and wondered, you know, how long it would be before he came back.
My first thought when I thought he died was that, they can only have one Star Trek character on at a time? Because, you know, we know Nichelle Nichols is coming in the, mm-hmm. you know, coming onto the show this season.
Yeah, I gotta say, George Takei is a much more compelling actor in Japanese.
He is. I mean, he plays a really great character, and you still really don't know whether he's good or whether he's a villain.
Yeah.
You know, he's playing up that he might possibly be good now, but then again, he was, involved with that organization. They obviously screwed somebody over that wants, you know, that's putting a hit out on them. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And I still would like to find out what Nathan and Peter Petrelli's mother, what her power is.
Yeah.
Which we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting that they've definitely implied that there was a whole group of previous generation of heroes. This basically formed a group the same way that this one seems to be heading towards.
Yeah.
And they seem more interesting than the Carter Drop, actually.
Well, they seem, yeah, they seem really interesting in that they have a dark side to them. And they were really totally willing to let New York go nuclear.
Yeah.
Just for the greater good.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering, because I know they're doing that, they're doing a miniseries, kind of an offshoot of Heroes, and I'm wondering if that's what it's going to be about.
I'm not sure, but I know Kevin Smith is directing the, he's going to be directing the first episode.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I haven't heard too much information about it yet. What do you think of that guy in Claire's school?
It gets to a lot of coincidences. I'm hoping that's something with, I guess, a lot of movies that I feel like there should only be a certain number of coincidences. And the fact that she would meet another guy, a boy at the school who also turned out to have superpowers, is a really big coincidence.
Well, I know this show is really one huge coincidence.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have like a theory about that kid. Mm-hmm. You know, the one that from Claire's school.
Yeah.
I just noticed that he seems to look a lot like Peter Petrelli, and I'm wondering if that's a coincidence or not.
Yeah, that would be interesting. And we know he flies.
We know he flies.
And we know that her father is a dog.
And he seemed like he knew that she had powers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we all know Nathan already has an illegitimate child.
Yeah.
So, but it's kind of a point I was leading to that, you know, I'm hoping that they explain it's not a coincidence.
Well, I don't think it's a son. You're implying that it's like a son of Peter's.
Yeah. Not of Peter, but of Nathan.
Of Nathan. Yeah. I'm thinking that he might be Peter Petrelli. Hmm. I mean, you know, at the end we saw Peter Petrelli, you know, chained inside with that container unit, whatever that was, storage unit. But I'm starting to think it's possible that when he went nuclear, or maybe somebody caught him and did something to him, that maybe they cloned him, or maybe he somehow split into two.
Yeah.
And maybe this younger guy is actually part of Peter Petrelli, but maybe he's the one that retained the memories. And maybe the other one doesn't have, you know, kind of has like an amnesia type of thing.
Yeah, that's possible.
I mean, because I don't know. I just, when I first saw him, I was like, kind of looks like Peter Petrelli.
But it would explain why he was drawn to Claire.
Yeah.
Because he did seem to sort of see Claire out.
Yeah, and he was kind of in for her to show her powers. And anyway, I'm looking forward to the next episode of Heroes, which will be for us tomorrow night. Our RPG topic for today is absentee player. What do you do with a player that doesn't show up for a game?
Yeah, I think this is a bigger issue for people our age who are like actual adults and can't always make it.
Absolutely. I mean, as you get older, you find that everybody has jobs, everybody has family, everybody has other commitments. So it's really difficult to get a group of people together. But what do you do if you get a group of people together, but one player can't make it to every single game? Okay, I counted four things that you can do to deal with this. One, call off the game, which is a total bummer, and that's something that you probably don't want to do. Two, cut the player loose and kill his character.
Well, yeah, that depends on a lot of other things. I mean, if he's consistently unreliable or just a jerk, then...
Then kill his character. Why not?
Yeah.
Number three, have a player play his character, and to me that's kind of not fair for that person to put that person in that role, because if something happens to the character, then that person feels responsible for it. Not to mention, when you're role-playing, you really kind of want to focus on your own character, and you really don't want to be responsible for somebody else's and have to role-play somebody else's character. Number four is turn the player into an NPC, and there's different ways that you can do this. One way, the DM could just take over the character sheet and just play him like a generic NPC, but I know through experience a lot of times this becomes just a blank, kind of just stand-in kind of character.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of a fair way to do it, because you can still give the guy some experience points, and you just have his character do something when it was really appropriate for his character to do something.
Yeah.
And it kind of keeps things moving, because, let's face it, all of us could possibly not be able to show up at some time for stuff we were talking about earlier, other commitments and whatnot. And I think you have to make certain compromises if you're over 20 and want to roleplay.
Now, if you're a DM and you don't mind taking over somebody's character as an NPC, then I say definitely go with it. This is definitely probably the best option for your game. We did something very interesting on one of our games. We had a character where in his background he became a were-tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did is, when we knew he wasn't going to show up for a game, that would be the game where he would transform into the were-tiger. So the DM could easily take over him. I mean, being a were-tiger, there was really no role-playing. You know, were-tigers don't speak. And he just became an extra henchman to help with combat. And when he became human again, he wouldn't have any memories of being a tiger. So the players would then have to explain to him everything that happened. And sometimes they would have to explain to him why he has blood all over his face. Another thing you could do is, I guess, you know, on the same line of making a character into a were-character, is you can have a character that's possessed. Or you can have a character that has split personalities. And that's another way where the character can not remember when he comes to his other personality, or if he's possessed, it could be a time where the demon actually goes back, you know, deep within his subconscious and allows his personality to surface again. And eventually, you can probably even turn the character into a NPC villain if he really does, like, stay away from the game long enough or retires from the game.
Yeah. Another thing I guess you could do is, if you know somebody can't make every session and consistently can't make every session, you could give him sort of a recurring character.
Those are great.
Yeah, and just, I mean, like, you would have in a movie or a TV, well, not a movie, because then it's only the one movie, but in a TV show. Then you had the question of experience and how much to account fairness, because he's not there making the experience, but then again, just to keep the game going, do you want to just sort of keep him on par with the other players as you go along?
And it would be great, because you could do something like, you know, like, I'm sure a lot of people have seen TV shows. I think, didn't Xena and Hercules kind of do that? They had the Bruce Campbell character.
Yeah, Autolycus, yeah.
Yeah, which he would just show up and,
yeah.
You know, and he could be a kind of personality that sometimes, at a really bad moment where the party looks like they're really getting their butts kicked, and suddenly this character just rushes in to save them, rescue them.
And you could definitely do more with character conflict, because he doesn't have to get along well with all the other characters, because he's not going to be there all the time.
Yeah.
So you could probably use him in adventures. I'm sure if the GM could speak to him aside and, you know, have him guide the adventure a little bit, you could get away with that a little more, because he's a recurring character and not all the time.
No, definitely. Great stuff there. Okay, this comes to the conclusion of this episode of Fandomaniacs, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
This has been a production of Fandomaniacs, copyright 2007. Our theme music was performed by Third Fire and is licensed under Creative Commons license. Listeners are free to use this show for non-commercial purposes as long as credit is given to Fandomaniacs.